We continue our learning. Lili Nishmas Dovid ben Menachem Unus and Lecham Yaakov ben Michos Elio. We are in Masos Perek Dalid Mishnah Aleph. We've mentioned so many times this concept of achilas arai, eating a snack without separating masros. At what point does that end? So what is a snack? How do we define that? So before we begin our Mishnah, let's just understand how the Mefarshim, the Yerushalmi, define what's considered an achilas arai versus an achilas kavah. It's very clear from the Yerushalmi that it's not based on quantity. We don't assume that a snack is less food and a formal eating and an achilas kavah is more food. But rather, the Yerushalmi says, let's say if a person eats the produce in a field, that's considered casual, that's considered a snack, that's considered an achilas arai. But let's say a person is eating the produce while he's at home, or let's say even in the field, but he's sitting around and he's reclining, according to Yerushalmi, maybe there has to be wine at the meal as well. So that would be considered an achilas kavah. Gemara Maseches Beitzah Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Hey, which we're going to make reference to in Mishnah today, speaks about the fact that a person sets aside produce to eat, or even maybe he designates the produce mentally for eating. That can consider the food that one is going to eat as an achilas keva and no longer an achilas aroi. Let's say a person prepares the food in a certain way that makes it look like an achilas keva. That's also the case. And as by way example, people normally would drink wine. We normally dilute our wine. So if a person is going to drink wine or grape juice, let's say right out of the vat, that's not considered an achilas keva. But if you're already diluting your wine, so that shows that you're using it as an achilas keva. Let's say you have barley and you shell the barley and you shell a certain amount of kernels at a certain at one time. That also would be considered an achilas keva versus an achilas arai, because when a person who eats doesn't shell them. Think about when you eat pistachio nuts. So you could say, okay, I'm eating one, I shell one at a time. That may be considered a snack. As a meal, you shell many at one time, and then you eat them, that would be considered an achilas keva. So our Mishnah begins, again, Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph, as follows. We're going to discuss the idea of salting or pickling, which we also said is koveya lemasros. The Mishnah says, hakovesh, a person pickles. Person, let's say he soaks olives or vegetables in vinegar for a certain amount of time that they need to become pickled. Hasholik, person who partially cooks something. We've mentioned many times, shlika sometimes means something that's overcooked, sometimes means that undercooked. It probably here means that it's only partially cooked, because otherwise, if it's more than cooked, then it would be obvious that a person would be chayav to separate masros, as we mentioned. Cooking a bishul is of course considered koveya lemasros. And others claim no, that maybe if you overcook something, maybe it's not as edible, it's not as good, maybe that would not be koveya lemasros. I need the Mishnah to be mechadish to me that even that is koveya lemasros. So again, hakovesh, one who pickles, hasholek, will translate as partially cooked, hamoleach, one who salts the produce. In all of these cases, and with speaking about where he's in the field, in fact, the Yerushalmi actually has the word basadeh in the Mishnah there. The halacha is chayiv. He's chayiv to separate masros before eating it as a snack. Each of these actions is considered koveya lemaser. And this is true even if the produce hasn't been completely processed. Because when we speak about cooking or pickling and salting food, that's considered that it's complete, the item is complete, that's gemar malacha, and therefore it's chayv in masos. Hamechamein ba'adama, person buries the produce in the ground. Why? He wants it to ripen. Some people to take avocados, they put them in a bag, put them in the drawer. You want them to ripen quicker. So here also, if people would bury the produce that was not fully ripened, and they would bury it in the ground, so because of the warmth of the ground, it would cause it to become ripe. So a person who does that, Patra, says the Mishnah, he is exempt from separating masros, and he is able to eat an achilas arai. Ah, you'll say the produce is getting heated from the ground. Maybe that's a type of cooking. The answer is no. Well, that's not considered cooking. Just warming it in the ground is not considered cooking or pickling or salting, etc. Hametavel basadeh patur. Person dips the produce into salt, or brine, vinegar, etc. while he's in the field. He wants to eat them there, not in the house. He wants to eat them out in the field. So the Mishnah says, Pater, he is also exempt from separating masr. This is not koveya lemasr, even though he is salting it. Because here, it's not so much that he's basadeh. Remember, when you said that the first halacha, when it spoke about salting, is also speaking about basadeh, and there he's chayef. And that's because he immersed it in the brine, in the vinegar, in the salt. But here it's hametamel. He's dipping, only dipping produce into salt. That does not have the status of a gemar malach of being kovea lemaser. When you have an olive or a vegetable and you have it, you preserve it, you pickle it in a jar, so that's something else. But here, right here, just dipping is not kovea lemaser. Hapotzea zeisim sheyetze mehem hasraf. Also a potter. A person crushes olives for what purpose? They're very bitter. They're naturally bitter. So if you crush them, you take away a little bit of the bitterness, and that's why he's, and that's the only reason he's crushing them. Says the Mishnah, Patius doesn't have to separate masros, because this is not considered, he's making it a little bit more edible, but this is not in the category of pickling or cooking or salting, etc. Now, the Mishnah is going to continue its discussion about squeezing olives onto a person, onto your flesh. And we spoke about the fact that onto your skin, that people would use olives for that purpose. Now, we were speaking about in the Reisha about where the fruit is in the field. And we said you can eat an achilas haray without separating masros, unless it was cooked or pickled, etc. Now, we're going to talk about when I bring the fruit, the produce, into the house or into a courtyard. And we've mentioned that the house or the chatzer does not, according to most Mefarshim, doesn't trigger the master obligation until, right, if the fruit or the produce hasn't been completely processed. So let's say you're bringing produce to your house or courtyard and it's not processed, you're allowed to continue snacking, according to some Mefarshim, because the level of chiyuv of mastros when it comes to a chotzer is not the same level as maybe cooking or pickling. So here, or maybe others, we spoke about different levels. Which one is more of a gamar malacha? When it comes to the house or the courtyard, even if it's not processed yet, just merely bringing it in there is not going to be kovea lemaser. So here we're speaking about, there are certain actions that you may do with olive oil and wine, or before it becomes olive oil, which is considered gemar malacha, and we'd like to know. Even though when you bring something into the house or the courtyard, it will be kovea lemaser if the food is completely processed. But if not, then it won't necessarily do so. But it's possible that I may do something to that produce while it's in the chutz or while it's in the house that will trigger the chiyuv. And the question is, the actions we're about to discuss, whether those fall into that category or not. Hasochet zeisim al basaro. Person squeezes the oil of olives onto his skin. He's going to rub it. So he is, says the Mishnah Potter, he's able to use it. He's not required to separate masses from the oil before he rubs it on his skin. No need to do so. Why? Since the olives, the goal generally is to make them into oil. And therefore not to eat them. So when is their master obligation? When is that triggered? We learned this already in the first parak. Olive oil becomes subject to maser when it collects in that trough at the bottom of the olive press. And that was it. So I squeeze oil onto the skin. That doesn't have a gemar malacha. So the fact that I rubbed into my skin, the fact that I happened to be in the chatzer, doesn't make a difference. You're able to do so without separating masos. That's the achilas harai, so to speak, because we say that sicha, smearing harai kishasi, is like drinking. Im sachat v'nasa l'sochiado chai of the, well, let's say he squeezed the olives and collected it into his hand, then he's chayiv to separate masra before he uses it. Why? Because when you collect it into your hand, that's like a small trough. That's like the gemar malacha. It's a lot smaller than the trough, but nonetheless, since you collected it, you have to separate masros. It's considered that it's fully processed. And remember that it's in the house or it's in a courtyard, and therefore you have to separate a maser. Now, a person has oil that he squeezes, let's say, onto his skin, and as we mentioned, and it's not in his hand, so that's not collected, and that's why that doesn't have a chiyuv of masros. Mishnah, now we'll discuss wine. Remember when it came to wine, it had to flow into the cistern at the bottom of the wine press, and you skimmed off The grape seeds and the skins of the grapes. And that's also we learn in the first perek. So if I have wine that I didn't skim and I brought it to the house or the courtyard, I'm allowed to snack on it. Once again, the chutzer or the bias does not kavel a maser on something that doesn't have the complete gemar malacha. So here we're speaking about wine. Ha mekape letafshil. Person skimmed the top of a food that was cooked. He had a cooked food. And he had in that cooked food, he had some grapes that he cooked together with it. And there were grape seeds and skins that were in there as well. He added this wine to the food. And in that wine, it had grape seeds and skins. So the halach is if you skim that off of the seeds and the skins of the grapes from the top of this cooked food putter, he doesn't have to separate masos for the wine before he eats that food. Remember, there is wine in there. So he shouldn't be able to eat the whole food. No, doesn't have to worry. Why? Because if you skim the wine that's mixed with something else, we don't consider that as if you finished the wine. We're speaking about a cooked food that's the Mefarshim say that is that's not hot, right? If it was still hot and it was able to cook the wine, so then the wine would be rendered to have a Gemar Malach and a Chiyuv of Masros merely because it was cooked. So obviously we're speaking about where it was not cooked, but nonetheless, it's not Koveya Lemaser, this wine by skimming off the top of from this the seeds or the grapes from the wine that was mixed together in this cooked food, you don't have to worry about that because it's mixed together with another food. Likdera ben chayav. But if you poured the wine into a pot that's completely empty and he skimmed off the grape seeds and the skins, then he's chayav to separate masos before he uses it. Mineshu kibor katan. You know, this is equivalent to the hand collecting the oil in the hand. This is like a small bore, a small pit, a small cistern, which also we know is the Gemar Malacha for wine. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Beis. Tinokos shetamnu te'enim l'Shabbos. So now we're going to talk about Shabbos. So Shabbos, we said, is also Kovel Maser. All these different things that set in, that trigger the Chiyuv of separating Masos, where you can no longer eat an Achilas Aroy. So one of those things is Shabbos, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Nunches, the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg. And that the idea is that everything that I eat on Shabbos, right, is considered even a snack, is elevated, and is considered a formal meal. And after that's also true. Mentioned in the past, according to some Rishonim, Minari Rishonim, when we speak about Kiddush b'makom Suda, what's defined as a Suda, so that my Kiddush that I make is going to be effective? What kind of food do I have to eat afterwards? It doesn't necessarily have to be bread. According to some minority of Mefarshim, even fruits on Shabbos, because of this Din of Maser, are considered a Suda as well. So the Mishnah here is speaking about the Shabbos being Koveya. When we speak about children, Tinoka Shetamnu Tainim L'Shabbos. You have kids, and they hid or they buried some figs for Shabbos. What happened? So they know that Shabbos is coming, and they are very excited for Shabbos, and they got some treats, but M'shachachu L'Asron, but they forgot to separate Masros. Or they can't separate masros. It's not effective, but they forgot to ask the parents to do so. Lo ye achlu lemotzei Shabbos ad sheyasru. So the figs can't be eaten as a snack, of course, on Shabbos, but even on Motzei Shabbos, until you separate masros. They became kavo lemaser once Shabbos began. So that's their status even when Shabbos is over. Now, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the children, as it said, hid the figs before they are brought into the house, before they were brought into the chatzir. And that's why the issue here is, the only issue we have to worry about is whether Shabbos is going to be kovel amaser and prohibit snacking on it. Had they brought it into the house, so then there would have been a problem against their Gemar Malacha, let's say, already. They're bringing it to the house, would have been a problem to begin with. We wouldn't have to deal with the Shabbos issue, because we'd already have the problem of being brought into the Chatzar. So here we're talking about they hid them outside of the house of the Chatzar. Now, There is a case, though, we're going to discuss, where I can set aside fruit for Shabbos, and it will be usher not only when Shabbos begins, but even before Shabbos. The case of where the kids are hiding the te'anim. So that's talking about on Shabbos and after Shabbos. But what about Erev Shabbos? So Erev, before Shabbos, you're able to eat those figs that the kids hid. Shabbos is koveya, not Erev Shabbos. But here the Mishnah is going to tell me even where Erev Shabbos is koveya. Kalkala Shabbos, you have a Shabbos basket. You had a basket of fruit. Person set aside the fruit to eat on Shabbos. So there's the Mishnah, Beishamai Protrin, Uveisil Mechayvin. Beishamai say the fruit is exempt from Masos till Shabbos begins, like in the other case. Beishamai is lenient. Uveisil Mechayvin. Beisil's no, you're not allowed to snack anymore, even on Erev Shabbos, since a person, why? What's the difference? So the difference is that when it came to the figs that the kids hid, it's possible they'll change their mind. They get hungry on Erev Shabbos. A couple hours before Shabbos, they eat the figs, and they were never set aside for Shabbos to begin with. Yeah, they hid them, and we assume that they had in mind that they're for Shabbos, but they changed their mind. But when you put the fruit in the Shabbos in a basket, or you're giving it to someone, or bringing for Shabbos already in the basket, we assume that that's COVID, that's going to be for Shabbos. No one's changing their mind. And therefore, says Beis Hillel, even on Erev Shabbos, it's going to be a problem. Good. But when it comes to, okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishnah continues, Afa loketas al kalkola l'shloach l'chaveiro lo yeochel ad sheyisaser. Says Rabbi Yehuda, he takes Beis Hillel halacha, and he's talking about where I'm sending a basket of fruit, and it's not set aside for Shabbos. I'm simply sending a basket of fruit as a gift. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even a person, afa loketes hakalkola, right? If someone picks a basket of fruit to send to his friend, he picks the fruit, puts it in the basket, lo yechel ad sheyisaser, can't be eaten as a snack until masos are separated. Why? Because once the fruit has been placed in a basket to be sent as a gift, person doesn't change his mind about it. So that masos obligation now takes effect, just as in the case of the Shabbos basket. This is not about Shabbos. This is merely being given as a gift. Rabbi Yehuda takes Rabbi Beis Hillel's halacha regarding Shabbos and the basket and extends it to this case as well. So even if he changed his mind later about sending the gift, it doesn't make a difference. He can no longer eat an achilas haroi, a snack, from those fruits. Now, in the past, hold on, haven't we learned about giving produce as a gift? And we mentioned that buying and selling is one thing, but a gift doesn't create a maser obligation. So you shouldn't have a problem of achilas arai, as we learned in the second and the third parak. That's a small gift. And the Farshim say, a large gift will be kaveil a maser. And others explain, the difference is that I'm sending a basket of fruit. When I send a basket to someone's house, that has greater significance, and that's kaveil a maser. And therefore, it's certainly a lot more than just where someone is just, you know, selling something here, or this is where someone is, or giving as a gift, where the person is next to him, rather, he is actually sending it. That has a different status as well. There's an interesting machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi. When we speak about this issue of Shabbos being koveya, how does it work? Reish Lakish believes that when I prick produce, only if I pick them specifically for Shabbos is that koveya lamaser. If I pick produce, but it wasn't picked intended to be eaten on Shabbos, so I'm allowed to have an achilas aroi after Shabbos, not on Shabbos, by the way. That's certainly going to be a problem. But after Shabbos, it wouldn't be an issue. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says Shabbos is koveya lamaser, even if you have produce that wasn't specifically set aside for Shabbos. It actually has to be suitable, fit for Shabbos. It has to be, can't be muktza. But Rabbi Yochanan says, but it doesn't have to be picked specifically for Shabbos. Good. And so that's an issue because when we discuss our Mishnah, the children are setting aside figs for Shabbos. So here, that's a good question. What did they have in mind? Is it specifically for Shabbos? Did they have intention that it should be for Shabbos? So that's a discussion how to actually fit each of these positions into the Mishnah. Additionally, if we're speaking about tinokos, we speak about children, question is what their intention, what kind kind of status, we should give their kavana anyway. Why should that even matter? Think about, let's say, according to Reish Lakish, where you need kavana in order for the kaver for Shabbos, so, and the kids are hiding the fruit, well, who cares what they're thinking out of a Shabbos? Should it really matter or not? There are those who claim that the answer is like this, that if kids have kavana, that may not have significance unless it's followed by their actions. So the fact that they're hiding the figs, that's the key. Tinoko shetamru te'enim l'shabbos. They want them for Shabbos, but they hide them, and therefore that itself, even that a mental designation of the children will have importance and will have a status for kavira lemaser for Shabbos, because their action actually reinforces their kavana.